Greeting to everyone. Open your Bibles now to Psalms 103. Be sure to take out your outline and follow along and take note that you follow along. You will know real quickly that I have shortened the passage we're going to deal with. Normally, it's my custom to read and preach the entire psalm. Five verses is all I can get through for us today, and I think you'll understand why when we get into the text. So much here for us to be reminded of. Didn't want to touch on it, but yet to dive in and expand on it. So we're going to deal with the first five verses. Follow along as I read. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfied your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that you would be with us this morning. We pray that you'll be with us in power and demonstration of the Spirit through the Word of God. May, as we always say, that we would be attentive, that we would not be distracted or be a distraction to others. But Lord, may we always seek to hear what your word has to say for us today, to challenge us and exhort us how to live as we go out these doors. But nothing starts so fundamental and so first and so foundational than our worship of you. You have been infinitely good to us. Often we ask and greet one another by how we're doing, and the truth is we are all doing better than we deserve because of your goodness, your kindness. Yet life is hard. Life gives us it blows wave upon wave, but yet you protect, you guide, you lead, you provide, you heal, you restore, and the list goes on. May we not fail to do what the psalmist is exhorting us here to do, which is our duty. It is to bless your holy and glorious name and all that you are and all that you do and all that you have done. The Lord, as we work our way through this passage, challenge us, exhort us for your glory, our edification. And Lord, if there's any in our midst who are outside the fold, may they realize their need for Jesus Christ. That all are sinners. May the Spirit of God convict them and draw them to Christ. And may they see their need of him as we work through this passage. In Christ's name, amen. Point number one begins by the simple principle of bless the holy name of the Lord. In verses 1 and 2a, it said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Here we are called and commanded to bless the Lord. Here we have the phrase, bless the Lord, O my soul, twice, and then followed by all that is within me. Bless his holy name. The word bless is a Hebrew word that is recorded 327 times in the Old Testament, 7 times in this psalm alone. And the word is used in 2 different ways, and we need to understand both of them to understand what we are to do here. First of all, in fact, that it's done in 2 ways, the context of the passage tells us which of the two it's dealing with. The first one is that when you see this Hebrew word used as to bless, it's used in a way that comes from the Lord as the source of all blessing, where God blesses his people, where we hear terms like blessed are those who trust in the Lord, and so on and so forth. That is God blessing the person. That's the first understanding. I like what William Mount, who happened to be a Hebrew and Greek scholar of words, in his dictionary of Old Testament and New Testament words, he said this, quote, "This word is used when God blessed. It is not an impotent wish, but the empowering and transforming work that accomplishes its purpose. To produce a blessing carries a sense of inevitability, such that once it had been uttered, it cannot be retracted. When God chooses to bless, it will happen. And when he blesses, oh, does he not bless?" Clearly, we see in another way, in other words, when God chooses to bless, it is certain and it effectual. The second use of the word, as God blesses us, we should bless, praise, and extol God in worship. Our passage today speaks to the second one, which those who have been blessed or have experienced benefit from the Lord should praise him for it. There's no way we can bless him the way he blessed us, because he had no need of it and we have no power to give it. But he granted and blessed us and graced us with so many blessings we don't deserve. And yet we are to, in response, bless his name. And it's another way of saying praising him, extolling him, and exalting him. But when you do a word study, it's more than simply the act of blessing and praising. It reflects the spirit and the attitude of the action as well. It speaks to being reverent in praise, kneeling in adoration, and to humbly acknowledge God as the source of blessing and worthy of all praise. Psalm 103, verse 22, "Bless the Lord, all his work in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Psalm 104, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty." Psalm 92, verse 1, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." Psalm 69, 30, "I will praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving." So clearly we need to see it as the psalmist opens up. He's out of the block exhorting us to bless the Lord. And when he uses the phrase, "Oh my soul," he speaks to the depth of our inner being. Oh, that we would understand, "Oh my soul," twice. And then he follows it up, "And all that is within me. Everything I have." These phrases reflect the whole person is engaged in blessing, praising, and adoration of the one true God. This is not simply using your lips. This is not simply singing a song. This is engaging your entire being, heart, mind, soul, will, affection. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, "Soul music is the very soul of music. The psalmist strikes the best keynote when he begins with stirring up his innermost self to magnify the Lord." Here we need to stir ourselves up to worship God in the way he is worthy, to do it in such a way that we would follow what the psalmist is saying, "All that is within me, praise him." That's why we see, when you look at that word and that phrase, the whole soul, heart, mind, affection, will, body, desire, passions are engaged in this one wonderful, God-exalting praise and worship. With our whole being, we bless him, we adore him, we praise him, we are grateful for him, and we are thankful to him. Psalm 86, 12 says it this way, "I'll praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart." and I will glorify your name forever. So here he's going to engage his entire soul, his higher heart, mind, will, and emotion, everything, and he will do it forevermore. It addresses, when we talk about the heart, it addresses the seat of our desires, our mind, and our passion. It's not talking about the heart that pumped the blood in our system. It speaks of, theologically speaking, of every aspect and faculty of the human person, the whole being. Psalm 111, verse 1, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Psalm 138, verse 1, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. Even the Lord Jesus said to his disciples in Mark chapter 12, verse 20, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And this is the first commandment. Oh, beloved, let us not be guilty of neglecting this duty. Let us not be accused of what Isaiah said to the children of Israel and what the Lord Jesus said to the people in his own time. In Isaiah 29, verse 13, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. Oh, beloved, let us not be guilty of lip service. We need to have heart service. All that is within us. Giving him the praise and the honor and the glory that he is worthy of. One of the psalmists says this, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. While many give lip service to their Creator, we give thanks within all that, we give thanks with all that is within us. Let us not forget the repeat of, oh, my soul, bless the Lord. It speaks to eagerness, intensity, earnestness. Over and over we see it right from the get-go. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then down in verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels. Verse 21, bless the Lord, all you his hosts. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, quote, many are our faculties, emotions, and capacities. God has given them all to us, and they ought to all join in chorus to his praise. Half-hearted, ill-conceived, unintelligent praises are not such as we should render to our loving Lord. If the law of judges demand all our heart and soul and mind for the Creator, how much more may the law of gratitude put into the comprehensive claim for the homage of our whole being to the God of grace? It's one thing to acknowledge God with every fiber of our being as our Creator. How much more should the depth and warmth of that praise and worship be as we see Him as our Redeemer, the one who saved us? Spurgeon uses the word God of grace. God of grace. Psalm 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So what are we to bless? Who are we to bless? What aspect? Look again in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Here it speaks to God's holy character. Psalm 99, verse 3, let them praise your great an awesome name. He is holy. The idea is not the name and letters. It is the name that reflects the entire aspect of its being and all of its character and all of its attributes and all that He is and all that He has done. Everything about Him, when we think of God, we not only think of Him who we're talking about, the one true God, we're talking about all that He is as revealed in Scripture. And all that he had done had revealed in Scripture and providence and the history of life. Beloved, we are to bless his holy name. His name is but holy, amen? It is not a common name. It is a holy, sanctified, elevated, set apart name. No name like his. No person or being like him. That's why when we have a little peek into that monumental vision that Isaiah had in Isaiah 6, verse 3, he saw angels, one crying to another and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Here the psalmist is focused on the holiness of God. His absolute, infinite, perfect holiness. Beloved, let us follow the exhortation of the psalmist to bless the Lord and his holy name. While others murmur, we bless him. While others blaspheme, we adore the name of the Lord. While others are ungrateful, we thank the Lord for his goodness. While others worship themselves and their idols, we will worship our God. That's what the psalmist exhorts us to do, to worship him and to say it with such depth and intensity. Oh, Lord, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Brings it to point number two now as we look at the second half of verse 2. It said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The word "forget not" means do not ignore it or cease to care about it. We are to always bring to our memory recollection of the good things that God has given to us. He, in his passage, uses the concept of benefit, things that he had given to us that we have benefited from it, from salvation to life on earth and answers to prayers in times of need. Forgetfulness of his blessings and benefit, beloved, is a sin. Some people don't think that it is, but the Bible is clear: when you forget his goodness, his blessings, his benefits, you forget, dismiss, and not allow it to do what it's supposed to do, to foster a lifelong attitude of gratitude for his greatness and goodness. Our God even teaches us in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, listen carefully, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Now notice what it said in the front end. It said that God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. If the infinitely perfectly just God, who had never done anything in a way of injustice, said that himself, "And I will not be unjust to forget your labor of love toward me and to my people." How much more when we forget? When God has so graced us and blessed us in so many ways that we haven't even taken the time to mark it down and to use it as a book of remembrance. Forgetfulness erodes and eats away our desires and affection to bless the Lord. When forgetfulness sets in, all true worship of the Lord begins to disappear and evaporate. Psalm 27:13. Here the psalmist tells us what brings about his gratitude. "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." How about Psalm 31, verse 19? "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men." How about Psalm 33, verse 5? He loved righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Do we sin or do we just complain all day long because of all of the stuff that's around us? Do we look for His goodness everywhere? Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful work to the children of men. Beloved, why is it that we don't remember? Why do we forget? Let me suggest a few reasons. Number one, I believe it's because we tend to focus on self more than Him. Sometimes we are discontent with our lot in life as He had providentially controlled and decreed. Or something as foundational as pride in our hearts. Pride means we're the center, not Him. I like what one commentator said after he gave a great elaborate aspect of Psalm 103. And at the end he said, oh, by the way, did you know it was never about you? It's all about Him. It's all about Him. The whole psalm is about Him. And yet we're in it because we're the ones who got the blessing and the benefit and the goodness. So in that text, in that phrase, at the end of verse 2, it said, He did not say, remember some of His benefits. He said, all of them. Well, that's a job. Well, hello. No kidding. But yet, we spend more time forgetting, dismissing, not doing what we ought to do with His command and being forgetful. We must remember specific acts and works of God, not just what He does. I can't listen to this one. Not just what He does for you, but what He does for others as well. God is good to not just you, but to everybody. Even the wicked. The Bible said He let the sun shine and the rain fall on the wicked. They will have to deal with Him later. But God is still good. Even more so to His own people. So don't get so focused only talking about and thinking about in your book of remembrance all what He did for you. But wherever you find Him doing good, you'll find your heart being lifted up. I'm so happy for them. Oh, God is touching their life. Oh, man, isn't that sweet? Boy, that's good over there, man. And it can happen in many different ways if we are paying attention, looking, and getting outside of our little world. I said we need to be remember specific acts, not general speaking or general gratitude. I am thankful. That's good. What are you thankful for? And that's where the lid goes, explode. And when you ponder that list and you reflect on that list and you go back to that list, it will never cease to encourage you to lift your heart to bless His name. And you can't help as you go down that list, it'll be like one wave after another, just overwhelming you with His goodness. That's going to create an intensity there that you will say, well, all that within me, I will bless His holy name. The difference between God's people and the world is on this fundamental aspect of thankfulness. Even in that sobering chapter in Romans chapter 1, when God begins to point out the difference between the world and His people, the world says this, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The reason why we have so much folly going on in our world today, everywhere you look, is because they have rejected God. And in that rejection, they instantly became unthankful for all of His blessings. Even in 2 Timothy chapter 3 when he talked about what it will be like at the end times, what people will be like in general. And in that list he said, but know this, that in the last day perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And the list goes on. But who would have thought the word unthankful would be there? Psalms 106 verse 7, our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercy. Here of all things in the history of Israel, the people of Israel who witnessed the Exodus, the miracles, the plagues, they witnessed it. They saw God's hand on their behalf to set them free. But we forget why he was setting them free. He wasn't setting them free so they can go have a jolly good time in the promised land. It's that they would go out into the wilderness and worship him on their way to the promised land. That's the first word he said to Pharaoh. Let my people go so they can worship me out there. And we know the rest of the story. But the children of Israel didn't understand what was going on. And the language here was your wonders, the multitude of your mercies. Psalm 106, 21, they've forgotten God their Savior who had done great things in Egypt. Beloved, let us not be guilty of that. God had done great things in our lives, more than we deserve. More than we deserve. Point number three. Verse 3 and 5. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfied your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Here we have several of the benefits, not all of them, but enough to prime the pump, enough to get you to thinking about it and start down that train. When you start naming them one by one, as the hymn said, we will count the blessings and it brings joy and rejoicing to our heart. First thing in there is who forgives all our iniquities. Front and center, the most important thing for every man, woman, and child ever coming into this world is having their sin forgiven. Not having a healthy life, not having a good life and a good job and do all the fun things of this planet, which are nice and gifts from the Lord, but fundamentally to be right with Him. Forgiveness is the beginning of all blessings. The Lord is the one who initiates it and does the forgiving. Hallelujah. We love Him because He first loved us. His forgiveness is free, continual, and uninterrupted. Psalm 32 really stretches this. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Notice the word blessed. That first definition of the word blessed. When God is the source of blessing. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Who do you think did it? But the Lord himself, through the merit and work of Jesus Christ. Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Verse 5, I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. So he first, of the many benefits that we see here, it's forgiveness. Second is he heals all of our diseases. That could be soul diseases as well as physical diseases. Our God forgives like a judge and he heals like a physician. Our God doesn't simply set the record straight. He makes us whole. He's the one who heals us. One of my favorite songs, boy, we're coming up to it, looking forward to it, Psalms 107, verses 17 to 22. Listen carefully. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquity, are afflicted. Okay? Why are they afflicted? Folly and sin. Simplified. Their souls abhor all manner of food, and they draw near to the gate of death. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And here's one of my sweetest of all phrases in the Bible. It says that he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful work to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Not give me a big bull or a big ram. Give me sacrifice of thanksgiving. All started with fools acting like fools, making sinful choices and decisions. They're getting battered from the reaping and sowing process. They cried out, God healed, God restored. And what did that do to that person? They go back to life in general? No. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord. Verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. At any given time, there's always somebody out here who's hurting, struggling, spiritually or physically. Look to the Lord, only he can heal. He heals completely and thoroughly. Look to him, trust him, lean on him. Next, it's found in verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Obviously, that could mean death, or obviously the end result of death and dying in your sins. Here, God in his grace redeemed us, using the word redeem. Certainly in the New Testament context, it speaks to the fact that he break the power of sin, bought you from the slave market. When you have the word redeem, you have the word redemption, you have the word redeemer all mingled in with it. It is the slave market concept where you're being sold as a slave to sin. And God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed us with the redemptive price, and that price was his son. You can't miss that without missing that word, catching that word, redeem. He redeemed us. We were under the death penalty of sin until grace came. Amen? Grace came. I shared not long ago, one time I was in North Bend. I was witnessing to a family, and there one adult son got saved, and I got a phone call out of nowhere from the mom. It said, what did you do to my son? I said, I did nothing to your son. Grace had visited your home. She was a believer, but she was thanking the Lord, just wondering what happened. And I said, grace came to your home and got your son. Do we give the glory to him? Also in verse 4, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. The word crowned, you got to make sure that you don't assume it as an ornate piece of gold with emerald like you would have as a royal crown. It is in this passage, and it has been used elsewhere as a metaphor for surrounding or encompassing something. And so the idea here is that he, God, who will surround you with loving kindness and tender mercy. He will surround you. Had he not done that, loving kindness speaks to goodness. Tender mercy speak to his mercy. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting heaven that you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting hell that you do deserve. God has been gracious and kind and good. He has crowned us or surrounded us with this. May we open our eyes and see his goodness. Like the psalmist said clear back in Psalm 27, I would have fainted had I not known and seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Maybe the reason why we faint, wobble, and weaken in our faith is because we're not looking at the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 86, verse 13, great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the death of Sheol. Psalm verse 5, as we continue, who satisfied your mouth with good things. God has blessed us with many good things. Not only good things, food, enjoyment of life, children, grandchildren, wonderful, wonderful things in life. He even allowed us to enjoy food. Can you imagine life without taste buds? So it wouldn't matter if you ate the thing you loathed the most. It would taste the same as the sweetest hot fudge sundae. You'd all taste the same. You'd bland, maybe a little texture different. But God gave it life, not black and white, but technicolor. We can see color, we can taste, we can see that God is good. That's what he's saying here. He has satisfied your mouth with good things. 107:9, for he satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. His goodness, not sinful stuff. Good thing, wholesome thing, good for the soul and the life. And then he concludes in verse 5, though that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Beloved, why do we need strength in life? I'll tell you why. Because we live in a cursed world where pain and sorrow and injustice are everywhere and it beats us down. And we fatigue and we wear out and we become weary of life. It will never end until we go home to glory. Sometimes it's because we have reaped what we have sown in our folly and our sinfulness. You cannot talk about this concept renewed like the eagles without going to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31 says this. As Isaiah was preaching to the people of Israel, he said that, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth will faint and be weary, and young men will utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Only those who trust in the Lord will he give that strength. So, beloved, be looking to the Lord. You need strength? Look to him. You need healing? Look to him. But don't forget to do what the psalmist said in verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So let us always remember that God forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, renews us as his people. Psalms 116:12, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefit toward me? Let me give you a suggestion. Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his name. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit. Even in Psalm 48, verse 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and in his holy mountain. One more verse before we get into the application, but I have to give a preface. It's found in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5, for those taking note. That is on the return. This is after Israel had already suffered two debilitating exiles, one into the northern captivity to Assyrian, the other one with the Babylonian captivity. They have just now come back. They're trying to reestablish everything the way it should have been all along. And there's a whole handful of Levites ready to lead in worship with all of these exiles coming back home. Many of them who had never seen home because they were born in foreign land. But they came back, and it died in Nehemiah 9, verse 5, it said this. He said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. What a way to tell the people when you come back home after you've been in captivity for 70 years. To come back to ground zero to not forget to bless the Lord. So what are we to take out from this? How are we to live out this passage? Number one, be proactive in remembering the goodness of the Lord. Don't wait for it to kind of be a, you know, flash in your mind. Be proactive, looking and searching, not making up. You don't need to make it up. The real deal is better than the fake. But be proactive. We need to be searching, recording, reflecting, meditating, looking, studying, seeking, and longing to find every good thing the Lord has done for us and others. Number two, I think this is obvious. Praise Him with every fiber of your being. Do not just give lip service. Every aspect of your soul needs to be engaged, and only you can examine that and know that. Every time you walk away from worship, you got to ask yourself, did I give everything or did I just kind of coast through? Give everything. Have you ever considered why we even flounder on this point? I touch about sometimes we get self-absorbed, don't like what is happening around us. When He makes no mistakes and He is good in all that He does, His wisdom is infinitely more perfect than ours. And so, beloved, those two things, be proactive in remembering the goodness of the Lord and praise Him with every fiber of your being. May God bless the preaching of His word. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the patience of the people. Your word is so good, so sweet, so instructive, so helpful. May we honor it by living it out. May we heed its wonderful precepts. May we truly follow Your will at this point. Lord, may we turn our attention to You in a way that You are truly worthy of. May we glorify You in all that we do and all that we say, and may we do it with our whole heart for Your glory. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.